760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
It's part right anyway.
Good morning. Wow. Welcome to The Morning Quest. I'm Allison DeLuhl, and my wonderful co-host Josh will be popping in any minute now.
There I am.
Oh, hallelujah. Asking you,
what happened? Was I on mute?
You're not muted anymore.
I am honored to be here with you people.
And if I could just jump in here, I'm not Josh or Allison, I'm Dave, but I just want to jump in here and say that Josh is hundreds of miles away from us right now in Arkansas. And through modern technology, It sounds like he's right here in the studio with us.
Sure does.
I am here, and I am agitating my hotel neighbors, but that is okay, because we are going to be celebrating in this room. It's going to be just a incredible hour.
I love it. We're going to be bringing joy in the journey. Well, I have a beautiful prayer that I found. It's by St. Catherine of Siena. So, Josh, I think we will start off with this prayer. How does that sound?
Let's do it.
Okay. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. It's called Come Into My Heart Prayer by St. Catherine of Siena. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Draw it to thee by thy power, O my God, and grant me charity with filial fear. Preserve me, O beautiful love, from every evil thought. Warm me, inflame me with thy dear love, and every pain will seem light to me. My Father, my sweet Lord, help me in all my actions. Jesus love, Jesus love. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm like, what a great amen. Prayer to start with, talking about all our actions of the day, right? That's ultimately, we're at the beginning of the day, finding joy in the journey. So let's prepare with prayer.
Well, that's the best way you can start the day. I like to think of it my holy hours. It's like if I give God that 1 hour, he gives me 23 back. And it's just absolutely mission critical. You can look at Mass the same way. But yeah, super, super in agreement with that one.
Amen. Well, we have an exciting day coming up here in this hour. We, again, have Josh with us from Arkansas, which we're thrilled to have him on with us again. And... always happy. I miss you in person, but it's great having you via phone, via microphone from far away.
Oh, yeah. From the Comfort Inn Casino and Resort in Arkansas.
I love it. I love it. So on today's show, we are super excited. And I mean excited when I say excited. Father John Ricardo is going to be on. Of course, he's from Acts 29. He's going to be talking about the Rescue Project and how many of those are going on in our parishes here in Atlanta Metro this month and next month. We also are going to be having our scripture reading with Kathy McCormick this week. Starting next week, we are going to have Father Blatt on with us, diving into the Word, our wonderful priest from Christ, our King and Savior in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. We are going to be...
Buckle up, because he rocks, I'm just going to say.
He does.
He really hits it out of the park.
He does. And again, those parishioners are absolutely amazing there at his parish. They are marvelous. We are going to be with Chuck Persner. He's going to be talking about St. Louis the Ninth today. And also, Ruth O'Neill, Catholic Life Coach, is going to be here. She's a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel, and she is going to be talking to us about her work and how the Lord uses her. So we are thrilled to have them with us.
That's wonderful. Well, did you have a good day yesterday? I wouldn't know because I wasn't there, but was it special, Allison?
It was. It's always special, Josh. Busy, you know, the life of a mom after you leave the studio, you know, picking up kids at school, bringing kids to soccer, you know, just doing all those amazing things. So God is definitely good. He keeps me busy.
And I'm sure your kids only affirm all your heroic efforts. There's absolutely no kickback behaviorally. They are just seeing you as the saintly mom you are at all times, like I do.
Oh, Josh, you're sweet. And you know what? Yes, they absolutely always see me as a saintly mom. That's it.
Well, I even know to this day, like with my mom, who I just love, my best friend, but I just think sometimes of these conversations we have, she's just so angelic. And I think, you know, you got to savor these moments, because one day you'll give anything to be in this, you know, situation, in this conversation. We just don't always see the efforts they're going to. I wish I could understand it at the core, you know, the effort and the sacrifice my mom is still laying out for me out of love. And so, I'd be praying for greater eyes to see and absorb that. I've been in Fordyce, Arkansas. I'm in Little Rock now, but I did a little about what I did yesterday. I did stand-up comedy and a pro-life talk for a pregnancy resource center in Fordyce, Arkansas. And for those who don't, it's like a town of 4,000 to 5,000 people. So pretty definitely different than Atlanta. And definitely country values are shining bright here. You know, I didn't just, when you look around and the adults, did not see many people staring down at their phones. There was just really like a radical intentionality and connection between all of, you know, a lot of the guests at this event. And it was cool. You know, you definitely felt heard and seen. And a guy who picked me up at the airport, it was an interesting story. He gave me I got two testimonies. I'll get to the second one in the fun segment. But the first guy picks me up at the airport. He says, I'm taking you someplace to eat. I'm like, well, you know, I like, and he's like, anything you like? I'm like, well, you know, it's healthy because I'm doing a show tonight. He's like, absolutely. I got just the place. Takes me to Golden Corral.
I love it.
He's like, there's something healthy here, I'm sure. I was like, well, I guess I'll watch you eat. No, they had a salad bar. It was good. I just tried to eat healthy the day of a show. But this guy, man, I tell you, and he was lean. Like, he was a string bean. I think he went back three different times, and I've never seen a dessert platter so. I don't even know how to describe it. It was as if he just ran through Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and grabbed everything he could, you know, like a showcase showdown or something. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty decadent. So he gives me a ride back, though, to the event, and he gives me this story about. I was so inspired. He essentially gave this woman that he was, I think it was, yeah, gave this woman a check back in the day. He was on the board of directors of this pregnancy center. And back in the day, he's dating or with this girl or, you know, anyway, has relations with this woman. She gets pregnant and he gives her a check and he says, here's the money for an abortion.
Oh, my goodness.
And I want you to do this, you know, and she disappears. She takes the check. And he said he connected with her literally 9 months later, and she had the check in one hand and his baby in another.
Oh, wow.
And gave him the check back.
Praise God.
And that daughter that he had ended up going to play college basketball. And has now the mother of his grandson who is looking to play college basketball, just the love of his life. And he was just going on and on about all the blessings he would have missed had he gone through with that, you know, terrible act. And it was just such a moving story.
Wow.
Like, thank you, Lord. I got to witness and hear that story, because you never know what's on the other end of a yes to God in life.
Amen.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father John Ricardo, he is a missionary from Acts 29, the executive director, as well as Mary Guilfoyle. She's also a missionary and the rescue project lead with us on the line. Welcome to The Quest, Father John and Mary.
Thank you, Allison and Josh.
Joy to be with you guys.
Oh, we are thrilled. Like I said before our conversation, Atlanta loves you, so I am beyond thrilled to have you all here with us today. So
we have a special love for y'all as well, even though we're Big Ten country and y'all are I think we're going to gladly hand the trophy back to you this year.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the Rescue Project, and I don't know how many of our listeners out there have heard about it, but I know a lot of our parishes here at the Archdiocese are going to be kicking it off. Would love for you all to just bless us with knowing exactly what the Rescue Project is.
Yeah, I'll kick us off and hand it to Mary. So the Rescue Project is a video experience that we created. It's free. It's available online at rescueproject.us. It's also available in Spanish. So that matters. It's in French as well, and wow. I think it's going to be in German, Portuguese, and Mandarin soon.
Awesome.
So it's intended ideally to be done in small groups, whether that's in homes or dorm rooms or fraternities and sororities or parishes. And it's a significant part of our response to the most urgent need in the church right now, meaning we think there is a desperate need, both in and out of the church, for a compelling and attractive proclamation of the gospel. Mm. For the simple reason, I just don't think most people have ever heard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting, too. I mean, I think of Catholics, like, we were the original evangelists, right? And and so somewhere along the way, I feel like we just kind of, I don't know, maybe culturally it's sort of just apropos to lose some steam, but it's so encouraging to see that you guys are boldly teaching people how to share their faith confidently and dynamically.
Yeah, let me take you back real quick to a comment that I always go back to that Pope John Paul II made back in the early 80s, I think it was, maybe even the late 70s, where he says, you know, the initial ardent proclamation of the gospel is supposed to be such that a person is gradually overwhelmed, and then they're moved to entrust their entire life to Jesus by faith.
Wow.
And again, I'm just not sure if you were to ask most people, forget about on the streets, most people in the pews, has that ever happened for you? Like, have you ever been overwhelmed by the gospel? And have you entrusted your whole life to Jesus by faith? I don't know how many of us would say it has. And maybe to your point, Josh, it's because we just presumed everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we should.
Yeah, correct. I mean, assuming is not good. So we have to bring these programs and bring the information and bring the scripture and bring the Holy Spirit to show them what they truly desire and what sets their heart on fire.
Yeah, and you know, Allison, I would add to what Father John said. It's one thing for us then in the pews to hear the gospel, but then we can't just leave it with us. Mm-hmm. It's incumbent upon us to go and tell others that we've met someone. You know, we talk to friends and family all day, every day, and we celebrate these beautiful things that happen in our life. But how many of us are sharing with others that we've actually had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? And the world out there, we're living through what sociologists are calling like the loneliest generation,
wow,
the most anxious generation. They're calling this time in which we're living the new Great Depression, which is,
wow,
the epidemic of mental health. And so we have young men and women, and maybe not so young men and women, who are living very insular lives and are dying to sit with someone in a small group and to talk about the big questions of life. And I don't think there's any greater joy than to communicate to someone that they're beloved by the Father.
Yes.
And for them to understand that their identity is in the Father, and they are the beloved sons and father of this, you know, sons and daughters of the King. And once they know who they are, then the trajectory of their lives and the landscape of their lives looks dramatically different than the life that they've been living separate from God. So we live in somewhat of a target-rich environment for the gospel. So if we're hearing in the pews, then we need to go out and share it with others.
That's wonderful.
I wonder if I can up the ante real quick.
Go for it.
Go for it.
So Mary says it's the new Great Depression, and she's spot on. It is. You know, we're also living at a time, so just think of our country right now. Mm. We're heading into an election, and it doesn't matter which way the election goes. It's going to be challenging for our country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, they think of politics as the solution.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Politics is very important. I mean, you know, how we determine laws and who runs the country and all those kinds of things, they really matter. But politics, as essential and important as it is, it can't fix the anger or the anxiety or the depression that Mary mentioned that's rampant in our country right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the root of that problem is the human heart, and only God can fix the human heart.
Yeah.
And the Rescue Project is aimed at trying to help people understand this really spectacularly beautiful truth, which is the heart of the gospel, surprising as it might be to most people out there on the streets, is this simple expression. You matter. You matter to God. He thinks you're worth not only creating out of nothing, but worth dying for. And that's the core of the gospel. You know, when we do this either live, like we did in Atlanta a year ago, or in other cities, or when people go through the Rescue Project experience, we hear from folks all around the world, and the single most frequent comment we get from folks afterwards is, why have I never heard this before?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, and to Father John's point, not only have they not heard it before, but they haven't heard it in a way that they can rearticulate it and share it with somebody else. Because the way Father John preaches the Rescue Project is through four words: created, captured, rescued, response. It's those four words, or it's these four questions. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is everything so obviously messed up? What, if anything, has God done about it? And then if he's done something about it, how should I respond? And so part of the beauty of the Rescue Project experience is that you're creating an opportunity for someone to be overwhelmed by the gospel, to surrender their lives to Jesus, and then to be mobilized for mission. And now they have a language. They've got four words and four questions. Wow. And to be sure, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of beautiful, beautiful proclamation that goes behind that content, but now you have a means by which to share the gospel with folks who might otherwise not be coming to church. You can do that in your neighborhood or in your workplace, and you can host the Rescue Project in your home or your workplace over lunch. So it's meant to be a portable experience, and our goal is to equip people to share it with others.
So, Father and Mary, for those listening out there, what would you tell them if they are teeter-tottering or just thinking, is this really for me? What would you say to them right there?
It'll change your life. Not because of me, but because the proclamation of the gospel itself is power. And it's life-changing. And it's explosive. And it's extraordinary. And it's the most unimaginable rescue mission that's ever happened in human history. And at the heart of it is you, whoever you are listening right now.
You know, I would only add one more thing. The remedy to what ails us isn't out there in the world. The remedy to the human heart, that which ails us, is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father John Ricardo and Mary Guilfoyle, for speaking to us today about the Rescue Project.
Thank you.
Appreciate you
guys. We hope to be back in Atlanta soon. God bless.
That was amazing. I just love listening to Father John Ricardo and that wonderful Rescue Project at many parishes here in the Archdiocese. Coming up, we are going to be diving into the Word with Kathy McCormick, and then starting next Wednesday, we are going to be hearing Father Blatt dive into the gospel with us.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Welcome back. We are so happy to have Kathy McCormick here in the studio with us, and we're going to dive into the Word.
Good morning. Let's go ahead and start with Luke 9, 1 through 6. That's today's gospel. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. So that's today's gospel. And I just wanted to throw it out there. Is there anything that struck you?
You know, with me, shaking the dust off your feet, you know, that comes to mind quite often for me, you know, just knowing that if I am sharing a thought of the Lord, or if I'm sharing something, and if somebody's not necessarily responsive, that I should not take it on myself and just be like, okay, you know what? I spread the seed. So that shaking the dust off the feet really comes to mind with me.
Yeah, that is very intense. Josh?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, it's like the phrase, we can carry the message, but we can't carry the person, mm-hmm. you know? So all we're called, like Mother Teresa said, we're called to be faithful, not successful. And I think that's just a reminder that, you know, I'm not in the results business, right? But I try to cooperate with God's invitation to serve and share his message with others. And I wish I was 100% from the field. I think sometimes, you know, fear can get the best of us. But like I've heard it said, everything you want's on the other side of fear. So, a poignant reminder that God has given us what we need through the sacraments and his word and his church to share that message, even if we are persecuted against mm-hmm. anchoring on those words that Jesus said, if they hated you, remember they hated me first.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that what's amazing about this scripture is, to me, a couple things. Number one is, if I were to put myself into the scripture and say I'm standing there as an apostle, and all of a sudden Jesus said to me, all right, I'm going to give you the power and authority to do all the things that I've been doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little intense. And then when he says, and you got nothing to take. Mm-hmm. You can't take your walking stick. You can't take food, money, you know, just the clothes on your back. And basically what he's saying is, and depend on me.
Fully.
That you don't need anything but me to do my will. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, I think that if I were to be standing there, I'd be a little bit freaked out. But the reality is, when God calls you to something, he equips you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't set you up for failure. He sets you up for success. We always used to say that when I was in youth ministry, I'd tell the youth ministers, look, he's not going to call you to an office without giving you the grace to complete that office. And so what's amazing then is, you know, they went out curing diseases everywhere. They did it without the walking stick or the sack of food or anything like that. I think that's really amazing and something that we need to take with us. That what is God calling us to, first of all? And are we totally depending on God? So, mm-hmm. you know, if you think about what does it mean to totally depend on God? Mm. A lot of trust, and you can't have fear. Like Josh, you were saying, you can't, you know, the fear has got to be, well, fear is not of the Lord, first of all.
Well, emphasize your point even greater. I mean, this line, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. I mean, can you imagine if you were called to some mission, where you literally didn't know when you were returning? And they said, by the way, leave your cell phone, your keys, your wallet, everything at home. And don't take an extra pair of clothes. And, you know, your return date is to be determined. You'd be like, excuse me, I think we're I'm talking to the wrong person here. You know, but there's like that kind of absolute radical, not just day by day, because it's not just one day at a time. I mean, this situation, it's one meal at a time. It's moment by moment dependence to your point, Kathy. And
most definitely moment to moment. And I think that's how we need to love our lives, especially mm-hmm. when we put our lives in Jesus's hands. He will take care of us and he will give us what we need to do the will that he has for us. So number one, I would say, what is God's will? And number two, am I depending on him for everything in my life? Am I depending on God? Because really that's all we have. So that's my question for today is, how are we depending on God? What are we doing to put our life in his hands so that we can go out and spread the good news and do all the things that he did here on earth?
Well, and I love that too. And again, I think we're human, right? In scripture, it says, do not fear. And ultimately, ways that we can combat the fear, going to adoration, being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, mm-hmm. reading scripture, you know, calling on the Holy Spirit for guidance and peace.
Living a sacramental life definitely will give us the power to do the things that God calls us to do.
Wonderful. Well, Kathy, thank you as always for diving into the Word with us. What wonderful information we have to chew on and to live out in our lives today.
Thank you.
And coming up, we are going to be with our wonderful Chuck Persner talking about St. Louis the Ninth. That'll be coming up.
Chuck, stop.
From the Catholic News Agency, Dallas Jenkins, the creator, director, and writer of the hit series The Chosen, made several big announcements last week regarding the future of the show and the launch of some new projects. That was at the second annual Chosen Fan Convention. They call that convention Chosen Con. That was last week in, last week in Orlando. 5 and 2 Studios, created by Jenkins, is the new independent studio that's going to oversee the production of The Chosen and will produce future film and television projects set in the biblical world. They're currently in production of The Chosen Adventures, an animated series following 9-year-old Abby and her friend Joshua. What a great name that is, huh, for her friend.
Oh, yeah. I want royalties.
Jenkins said, this is a show that kids are going to love. Parents are going to love watching it with them. Grandparents are going to love watching it with them. We're taking the stories of Jesus, the stories of the Gospels, biblical concepts and truths, and showing you them through the eyes of children. And I, although my kids are adults now, I think I'm going to enjoy watching that as well. From Catholic... What's that?
So there you go. Hey, they're meeting us where we're at, right, Dave?
Absolutely. From the Catholic Vote, Democratic nominee Kamala Harris this week came out in favor of eliminating the filibuster. That's a longstanding U.S. Senate precedent. And she's doing that so that she can pass a bill that would make the overturned Roe v. Wade decision nationwide law. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, a Catholic who recently left the Democratic Party, responded, "Shame on her. She knows the filibuster is the holy grail of democracy."
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to the morning quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are so thrilled to have Chuck Persner back. He is a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock, and he is going to be blessing us with another saint today. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome.
Good morning, Allison. Thank you. And good morning, Josh.
Well, it is good to see you here, as always. What do you got for us?
Well, I thought maybe we'd take another break or departure from the liturgical calendar again today. With the election on everybody's mind, mm-hmm. I thought maybe we can delve into the topic of leadership and rulers.
Nice.
Because the Catholic saints that we talk about here on this program, this was a little bit different today. Not an exception altogether, but we're talking about a guy who, well, let me first say, when you go to the liturgical calendar and check a feast day and you see a Roman numeral there, you think you're going to talk about a pope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we don't, the Catholic Church doesn't celebrate Super Bowls or World Wars, right? We don't, which is like the only place. Well, actually, no, WrestleManias use Roman numerals. Josh, I know you're a huge pro wrestling fan.
I dabbled professionally for a very short time. But
yeah, your days in the ring, I forgot about those, yes.
It's not too favorable when you're 150 or less, but.
Well, you were in the lightweight division.
I was in the lightweight, yeah. And I'm, you know, bit older, too. That's the thing. So one guy there sipping Metamucil. That doesn't work too well for you when you...
Not in the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, today we're going to actually talk about a real-life, honest-to-goodness king.
Really?
And that is St. Louis the Ninth.
Wow.
King of France.
So this is the pushback on somebody that might say, well, you can't have power and holiness. You can't have money and holiness. You can't have influence and holiness, and here we're going to get a strong no to that. In fact, you can leverage that for God's kingdom, and that's what this gentleman did. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And he's not the only one. You know, as I had alluded to earlier, we have Saint Stephen of Hungary on the liturgical calendar in mid-August. We've got Saint Henry,
wow,
who was also an emperor who became king in the early stages of July as his feast day. And lest we leave out the lady, Saint Elizabeth of Portugal,
wow,
a real life queen. And we celebrate her. Actually, she's interesting. Her feast day was actually on July 4th, but they moved it so that it wouldn't get in the way of July 4th of July celebrations. So that way she can have a liturgical feast day on July 5th.
Wow.
But I digress.
Oh, that's pretty thoughtful.
But, you know, as a young boy, I always loved St. Louis. I would go to the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, and there was this beautiful marble statue of him to the left. But not only was there a statue, there was actually an altar set up to St. Louis. And Allison, you might find this interesting. There's also an altar set up to St. Michael the Archangel.
Oh, nice.
At St. Patrick's Cathedral. Those are the only two saints recognized in such a way. But I often wondered if maybe they celebrated Mass at that tiny little altar on his feast day. I would love to maybe be there on August 17th, which is actually his feast day, to see if they did that.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, just one of the charming nuances of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Because, you know, when you go in there, it's so big.
Yes.
And the altar up front, I mean, you can land a blimp on it. It's so big. Mm-hmm. And you have, like, these little nuances and statues. And as a boy, I'd read his story, crowned king at age 12. I mean, my goodness, you know, we're going to talk about the fact that he was a fierce warrior, but also a lover of the arts. Mm-hmm. He was a compassionate man. The fact that he would always, upon defeating his enemy, which he always did, he would give them favorable surrender terms. So he was a guy who, you know, when you talk about leaders, this is pretty amazing.
Wow.
You know, and I know you've got a few things you wanted to talk about his early life as well.
Well, you know what? His mom, what a devout lady she was. And she really instilled a deep devotion and piety to her royal son. You know, and again, how we're talking about him, what a holy warrior he was and how kind he was to people. I mean, that beautiful love that was instilled as a boy growing up came from mom. So what an influence we moms have out there.
Absolutely. And let's face it, she was essentially the king until he turned 21 because mm-hmm. she stood in. Queen Blanche, we're talking about, yeah, she stood in and was really...
Because his father died when he was really young, right?
Yeah.
How old was he? Do you know?
When he was named king, he was 12.
12 years old.
12 years old. That's a lot of power for a young man, Josh.
Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness that didn't happen to me. Well, you know what his secret was, I think. I found out he attended Mass twice daily.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah. Two times a day. I mean, what a devout person. And, again, he also participated in the Crusades. Did you know that?
Two of them, actually, yes.
Wow. Yeah. Just really like locked into the belief it was his duty to defend the faith.
Yep, 1237 and 1267, if I'm not mistaken. Yep.
Louis set about achieving his personal goal of making France one of the foremost Christian kingdoms.
Absolutely, and at the time it was. You know, and the things have changed over the times and years, but it's still a Catholic nation. For all intents and purposes. But yeah, here we have a man who, as you said, Josh, he took the importance of ensuring that the religion would live on.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had that proper mix of politics and religion.
Well, you know what else he was known for, guys?
What else?
He was a humble man. Mm-hmm. Okay, I found this out. Apparently, he was known for his personal acts of penance and humility. He would wash the feet of the poor and personally attend to lepers.
Wow.
Again, very rare for a king. I don't know of any other than the King of Kings who has really jumped on that train. I mean, that's just incredible. What a holy guy. And especially like Jesus said, what you do for the least of these, you do it for me. And this guy's walking the walk.
What a witness, you know, to those around him.
Yep.
Those that he was overseeing.
And humility is the antidote to pride.
Yes.
And we see that all the time. Especially amongst modern day leaders. You know, again, we're talking about him today because in a short while, we're all going to vote for the next president.
Yeah.
So it's important to remember, you know, I'm under no illusion to think that I'm smart enough to tell anybody who to vote for. But I do know that I'm going to vote Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I'm going to make my choice.
Absolutely.
In this upcoming election, I'm going to vote for the candidate that best reflects Catholic values.
Because you're voting potentially for that baby that can't vote in the womb.
That's such a good point, yeah.
Well, and this is a beautiful quote from St. Louis.
Yes, I'll call him that, St. Louis.
St. Louis, fix your whole heart upon God and love him with all your strength. For without this, no one can be saved. So again, he's always pointing to God, you know, leading people to God and in prayer and just being submissive to him and praising God.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, one last extra awesome nugget for you guys. He was known for personally hearing court cases and ensuring that even the poorest people received a fair hearing.
Wow.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty radical.
Absolutely. And you know, I do have props aren't really good for radio, visual props, but I have to say,
I
love my St. Louis Cardinals hat. St. Louis football Cardinals. As a kid, since I liked St. Louis, I've had this hat. This is the old logo. And it's a great conversation piece because people come up to you and say, are you a St. Louis Cardinals fan? I say, no, I'm a St. Louis the Ninth fan. And then before you know it, you're off and running talking about this great saint.
Well, I think it'd be pretty radical if he was the mascot for the team.
That would be cool. We should put a picture on this hat on the social media page, maybe. I don't know. This is kind of... I should probably get some of the stains out of it first. But,
Well, on that note, after learning about this amazing saint, some things to think about as we go through our day. How can we use the gifts God has entrusted us with the good of others? How can we use our influence, however small, for the promotion of what is just and true in our lives.
Yeah. To whom much is given, much is expected. And here we have a guy who was given a lot.
Amen.
He was the king, and he showed us how to do it.
Wow. Well, Chuck, thank you again so much for coming and blessing us with the wonderful saint today.
Absolutely. And St. Louis the Ninth.
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Thunderstorms on and off throughout the day. We have a potential for a lot of rain today. High of 75. It's 73 now at 8:40 here on The Morning Quest. So, Josh, I would love to hear more about your adventures in Arkansas, because I know a lot has happened.
Yeah, it's been an adventure, that's for sure. And I will say they have given me the most interesting people to chauffeur me to and from this hotel in Little Rock. One guy who gave me a ride back, I mean, it was late. Keep in mind, I'm an hour behind. So it's, you know, if it's 10 o'clock here, it's 11 o'clock in Atlanta. And I'm in this car ride and my eyes are just bobbing. I am exhausted. And they picked this guy. I don't know how to describe him. He was like the coolest person, but he looked like the long lost member of Duck Dynasty. Okay. I mean, he looked more like ZZ Top than ZZ Top. And so I'm in this car and I'm wiped, man. Like everything, all the gas in my tank is shot. And I am literally just doing, like, I'm bobbing for apples. You know, I'm going down, I'm coming up, I'm exhausted. And he looks at me and says, "Brother, let me tell you my story." And if you hear that with a country accent, grab a Snickers, because you're not going anywhere for a while. This guy goes into not just a little story. I'm talking like a Lord of the Rings trilogy that takes up the whole, pretty much close to the whole hour and a half drive or hour and 15 minutes. And I'm cross-eyed, but it was pretty riveting. He essentially shared how he had a really bad addiction to a terribly nasty drug, you know, referred to as crystal meth. And it totally was destroying his life, his marriage, and I'll give you the very abbreviated version of the story. He has an altar call at a church. He gives his life to the Lord, and right there, immediately, after his wife had been trying to get him to go to church, that addiction was just lifted from him. Praise the Lord. And there was a local cop in town who was his friend. He ended up bringing everything, all the contraband, everything to this particular cop, and they broke it or flushed it right there. And now he goes around and I think shares his story at prisons. He was sharing his story to me, which was, again, it was pretty radical. After we get to this hotel, he gives me this penny with a cross in it. Like, just imagine a penny with a cross in it. And he says, "I want you to try to look through this cross and hold the penny out. Can you see much?" I said, "Well, no, I really can't. It's tough to make out words." He said, "Now put the penny close to your eye, brother." I'll give him his accent. "Close to your eye. And when you look directly through the cross, everything is visible." He said, "That's my point. The closer you are to Christ, the more clearly you can see everything around you."
Wow. Thought,
that's a... And then he just stared at me and said, "Now put it on your keychain." I was like, "Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. I'll put it."
I love that. Oh, my gosh. Again, he's all in. He had the conversion, and now he is all in, not afraid to share the Lord's love with anybody. So that is beautiful. Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing that with us, because I
absolutely
never a dull moment with you.
Just the last thing I'll just say to pay attention to is you never know when God has given you a message and who you're going to hear it from, because it may be from the most unlikely. We get sermons from the most unlikely people. So we just need to open up our eyes and ears, I think.
I love that. Well, coming up, we are going to be with Ruth O'Neill, Catholic life coach from St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
Catholic life coach Ruth O'Neill. Her mission is to help women develop strategies that empower them to have the life they were created for. So, Ruth, welcome to The Quest.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
I am thrilled to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Lord led you to become a life coach.
So first, I like to start with just, I am just like everybody else, just a child of God, right? Just trying to work it out, trying to, you know, use my gifts and talents to glorify Him.
Amen.
And so along the way, it's this, how did I become a life coach question. I was like, gosh, you know, I have to go all the way back to really when I was like in middle school or high school.
Wow.
Because it's like not something that I gravitated towards. It's actually something that came out of the inside of me. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah. And so I feel like I've always been a coach. I can think back to so many times when I was younger where I was that person that I was listening. I was, you know, encouraging. I was also challenging people, right? And because I always could see maybe the internal gifts somebody had and wanted them to be able to tap into that to be able to become their full potential.
Amen.
Right? And so that kind of just, you know, life goes on as it does. And so I gravitated towards, well, you know, occupations and ministries that tapped into that love that I had for people and their unique gifts and talents. I came here to the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and before you know it, I was active in women's ministry, leading groups and retreats, facilitating Bible studies, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And then a really good friend of mine who was a marriage and family therapist at the time, she said, you know, Ruth, there's this new thing coming up in the people helping industry, and it's called life coaching. And she said, I think you might be a good fit for that. Take a look. And so, well, don't you know, I did. And so I just dove right in and I started looking at it. I started finding out how I could be it because everything that I kept coming across was like, this is like a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And not only a perfect fit for my gifts and talents, but like a natural extension or a natural next step for what I got it already had me doing.
I love it. And you were excited about it. You had a feeling,
man.
This is me. This is what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
Which you do with many people.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
It's my very favorite thing to do.
Oh, I love it. And that's exactly what we're called to do. Whatever God calls us to do, do it well, and you will set the world ablaze. I think of that quote from St. Catherine of Siena.
Amen.
And I'm paraphrasing it, but truly, when we're doing what we're called to do, nothing can stop us and lives are impacted.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Yeah.
So how does your understanding of your Catholic beliefs and values inform you with your coaching approach?
So I love that you asked that question. It's kind of two ways, right? First, I believe, as I bet you do too, mm-hmm. that we're all created in the likeness and image of God.
Amen.
Right? And so if that's true, then we all carry with us a particular image or a particular part of God's image that we reflect to the world, right?
Yes.
And so I believe that with all my heart. And so that is what informs me. And then, as you can imagine, I just shared with you how I became a coach. And that motivation from inside is like, I see that brilliance in other people. And so I just want to go to work helping them see it too.
Yes.
And I am able to do that. God allows me to be that and for other people by using the Clifton Strengths. And you and I talked about that just a few minutes
ago. We have, yes.
Yeah. And so I use the Clifton Strengths assessment to really unlock what my client is good at naturally. Because if you think about that, the cool part about the assessment is it's just math, it's science, it's a neutral report, but it really reflects what's best in us, which would then be God.
Yes.
Right.
And and I love too, because I did that test, which was very informing. And again, it kind of confirmed my gifts and exactly what I was called to do and my mission. But it stems into family life. It stems into vocation. It stems into ministries. So that information, when we know what we're called to do, when we know our strengths and our gifts, it's easy for us to have a better idea of what we're supposed to be doing instead of doing something that might not be a good fit for us.
Nice. And you know, I'm glad you said that because we live in a really loud world, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And so this world's telling us what we should be, who we should be it, and how we should be it, right? But if we have this understanding, and so with that being said, that loud can get us way off track.
Absolutely.
And then we end up in a bad fit. We end up, you know, trying to be something that we're never supposed to be. And so if we have an understanding with that, those gifts and talents, right, just even through that simple report, we have an idea then of the trajectory, the path that we can follow and sort of weed through all the noise.
I love it. We got to weed through it.
Yeah.
Stay focused.
Yeah.
So one other question for you. How do you balance your personal faith with the diverse perspectives and spiritualities of your clients? Because we know you're Catholic, but we know you're open to reaching out to anybody because we're all children of God. So how do you navigate that?
Well, you just said it.
We're children of God.
Right. I mean, because if you go into everything, and this is what every time I meet a new client, regardless of whether they're Catholic or whether they are believers or not, we're all children of God. And so let's just say maybe that person doesn't know their true dignity, right? That child of God dignity. It's okay because I can love them where they're at. And it's a beautiful opportunity for me to walk with them, love them where they're at, pray for them, for their conversion, but also just slowly help them see their unique brilliance, which then what does that do but point us to God?
To God. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
We are talking to Ruth O'Neill, Catholic life coach, and thinking about, you know, the different clients you've had. Is there one that just touches you that was so impactful that made an impact on your life? You know, just thinking about the past.
That's a really great question. And there's a few that come up to my mind frequently. One in particular was a high school junior. And when she came to me, so there was a physical manifestation of the way she was feeling about herself. She was dressed very dark from head to toe, you know, just like black, black hair, black nail polish. Everything was dark, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we started our conversation about just who she was, right? Because she didn't want to talk about God.
Yeah.
Heck no. But as soon as we started talking about who she was, like who she was created to be, that those are the words that I was having inside my head, but I was just reading her report and I was sharing what I was noticing about her with her. And she's like, yeah.
Wow.
Like, yeah, that report is saying that. Wow. I know that inside of me, but I didn't know how to say it. And so we worked, and probably by the end of, I would say 3 months, that what I meant by a physical manifestation is she went from all black, dark on the outside, to where she was literally wearing pink and yellow by the time we were done.
What a transformation.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Oh my gosh. And just by learning about herself,
just by
confirming that, yes, this is me, I couldn't express it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So where can we get more information about your practice and learning about Life Coach?
Yeah. Well, the best place to go would be Transfiguration Counseling and Coaching. And that's the practice that I'm a part of here in Georgia. You know, go Google transfigurationcounseling.com.
Wonderful.
And then you can learn more a little bit about me by just going to ruthoneill.com.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story and your mission.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And we are back. Allison, that was a great interview.
No, it is. And what an amazing woman and the work she does. And again, as I'm, you know, pondering that interview, she met with, you know, a middle schooler or a high schooler. So I just think of all the girls out there that could benefit too from working with Ruth and learning their strengths and talents. So it's exciting. Very exciting.
Work with Ruth and find your truth. She needs to pay me for that.
You're so funny. Oh, well, that's so cool.